started. We'll really probably just look at verse 10 tonight, but we're going to deal with, and again, we've just been going through Philippians, and so we're here in Philippians 4, and we're in verse 10. We just looked at verse 8. We spent some weeks in verse 8 about how we think, what's on our mind. Then we looked at verse 9 last week, that we would be doers of that word, which, again, is just kind of the application of verse 8. So the Lord wants us to know how to think, and of course, we're to think on those things that are true and just and honest, honest and just and pure and lovely. Those are the way we're supposed to think. And then in verse 9, we're to take all the things that we've learned and again, our new way of thinking and do what the Lord would ask us. Now in verse 10, there's a little bit of a shift in, it's not definitely a change in context, just a little bit of a shift in the teaching. So verse 8 was about our thinking. Verse 9 was about our doing. The rest of the chapter really talks about how to live in God's supply or live by God's supply. So trusting the Lord to meet our needs and then how to give from God's supply. Those are really the two final thoughts in the chapter. But as we go through these, we're going to deal with two of the most used verses in all the Bible. And we're going to hopefully learn these verses in their context. Pastor Dusty, who will be here with us at our family conference, he's always saying, now that verse will work good on a pillow. You know, when they stitch a verse on a pillow and you put it on your couch. And one time I asked him, how many pillows do y'all have? Because he kept saying that. But you know, what I meant was like, it makes a good sign at Hobby Lobby. I can do all things through Christ. You know what I'm saying? There's just certain verses that they're just sort of, you know, they have a good, I hate to say they have a good ring to them. But I want to tell you, that verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, a lot of times is used way wildly out of context. And so we got to learn to not cherry pick those verses out and just like kind of use them for our benefit. Because, and again, I'm not here to shatter anyone's faith either, okay? I do believe the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But if I'm standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, I'm telling you one thing, I can't fly across that thing. There's some things I can't do. You understand? I mean, you could try, and you will fly a little ways, but it'll all come to an end before you think. I'm just saying that is that's an extreme example of taking a verse out of context and applying it. But it's a great verse. It's a wonderful verse, and God does give us the strength to do all things. We just have to understand what that means in context. The other verse is verse 19, that again we would put on our pillow or use it. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And by the way, I love that verse too, because God will supply all of our need. But what I want you to see is both of these verses live in Philippians 4. And in the latter part of Philippians 4 deals with living in God's supply, which essentially is having the faith to allow God to provide for you. And then the second part is that we would give of God's supply, having the faith to give out of what God has provided. So that is the context of those two verses. We aren't going to look at either one today, but we will get to them. They're in this section. So let's read Philippians 4:10, and we'll read just down through 13 today. The Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased." Sorry, let me read that again. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Father, I pray you'd help me as I preach the message here. And Lord, I just, as we really probably are going to look at just this one verse, help us to understand how your economy works, Lord, and how you deal with needs and how you use your people to meet needs and how you meet our needs through these very same means. I just pray it'd be a lesson in Lord, trusting you and having faith. That's really what it's about with our living situation, with our finances. Lord, you provide everything that we need. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to understand this. Be with me as I preach it. Help me to just focus on the scriptures you've given for me to look at. And God, I just pray that you'd work in our hearts this afternoon. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. We are so grateful, Lord, to you for all the blessings that we have in our lives. And all of us sitting here are some form of a miracle that you've reached down and saved us. And I just want to thank you and give you praise for that, Lord. And Lord, help us now in the next few minutes. Just get a hold of our hearts. Help us to listen intently. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this verse 10, really deals with rejoicing in God's providential provision. Notice verse 10 again, and this is where we're really going to land tonight. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but lacked opportunity." So we're going to deal with this verse really word for word and understand what Paul is rejoicing in. Now, again, remember, Paul was, we got to remember our context. Paul was in jail, okay? This is a prison epistle. So he's not in the best of, if you were in jail tonight, you would say, "I'm not in the best of circumstances," wouldn't you? I mean, I would. I'd say, "No, I'm not in the best of circumstances." That was Paul. He was in prison. He wasn't in prison for his sin. He wasn't in prison for wrongdoing. He was just in jail, detained there because he was preaching the gospel and had really stirred up the religious community there, and accusations happened, and then all of a sudden he is in jail. He finds himself in this place, but now he's rejoicing greatly. It says there in verse 10, he rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And what he's going to speak about over the next few verses is how God provided for him in that situation. God took care of him even when he was in jail. God provides for us providentially, and he's praising the Lord for his provision. And I think we could all really, if we were to really look at our lives and examine what all God has done to bring us to where we are today, we would say God has worked providentially in our lives. He has orchestrated events in our lives to bring us to this point. There's many examples of this in the scripture, but a couple of good ones. One is Abraham and Isaac. You know, they're going up. Abraham is going to offer Isaac as he's been told by God to do, and they're going up Mount Moriah, and Isaac's looking around, and he's putting two and two together, and it's not adding up. You know, there's no sacrifice. Dad, where's the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham says the Lord will provide a sacrifice. They get up there, and you know the story. The Lord did provide a ram that day. And it says in Genesis 22, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And Jehovah Jireh means God our provider. So we need to, first of all, understand, I think it's a good day to do so. We're talking about praise. We've just had a praise service. It's good to acknowledge that it is God who provides. You say, "Well, I work hard." I'm sure that you do. And it's good and right to work hard. But the one who's given you the breath and the heartbeat and the energy to work hard, the one who's blessed you with that position at work, and that, the one who, I'm telling you, it all belongs to him. Every good gift is from him. He is our provider, and he provides in his way. Sometimes we think it's sort of normal, but he can provide in other ways too. I mean, with Elijah at the brook Cherith, he commanded and ravens came and fed Elijah. So however he has to do it, he will provide, and he provides providentially. That just means through his hand, through his means of doing things and orchestrating events, he provides for us. Now, Paul was a prisoner, and in those days, prisoners, I don't know a whole lot about American prisons, so I shouldn't probably talk a whole lot about it. I'm just going to tell you, it was different for Paul then than it is for those now. I'll just tell you that. I do know that. In that time, if you read about, you know, how the prisons were then, the family and friends were responsible to take care of whoever it was that was there. And so the state wouldn't be taking care of them and all of their needs. They got in trouble. They're behind bars. Their friends and family would literally come and give them food and get them through the day or the week or whatever. And so, I mean, talk about being in a position where you're literally waiting on God to provide. That was Paul. And he's behind bars. He's waiting. And he says this. He's rejoicing in the Lord greatly. Look at what it says, that now at the last, at the last. Now, I don't think he's complaining. You know, he's like, "Man, y'all waited. Y'all sure did wait to bring by that gift," or whatever it was. We don't even know what they gave him. But when he says at the last, if you study the wording there, it's like saying at long last or at last, or just, we could say it like this, just in time. But now I had this need, and sure enough, just in time, you brought by, and apparently they brought by some gift for him, and it met the need. I hope you understand this and are thankful for the fact that we serve a God who's always on time. I mean, we don't always think he is. A lot of times we think he's running late. Where is God on this? But there's a reason for his delays. We just read in that missions letter, and they don't even know the reason for the delay. They just know there is a reason for it. God is always on time. He's never been late. I say a friend in the ministry. He's a mentor in the ministry and a big help to me. But he always says, God is seldom early, but he's never late. That's what he'll say. And I don't think he's ever early either. I think he's on time, but I like this saying. He's seldom early. And what he's saying is he rarely shows up before you think he should. Yeah. But he's never late. Okay. So he provides for us through his providence, and he's at long last, at the last, he's just on time. So now I see three elements in God's providence, and this is what I want us to get today, of these three elements of God's providence. The first one, and maybe the easiest one to see, is the need. And the reason that it's easy to see this element of providence is that, well, if God's going to work to provide, there has to be a need. And you and I, being human beings, we all have needs. Amen? So that's an easy one to see, that there has to be a need. If God's going to provide, there needs to be a need. Now, last week we looked at, in the previous verse, we ended up looking at the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan was the one that came across this man who had been robbed in the ditch and left for dead. And the Samaritan was the third person to come by. And so what necessitated the whole story was the need, that he had been robbed, that he had been left for dead. And so the difference, though, in the people was not the need, but it was their concern for the need. Okay, so element two tonight is the mind of concern for the need. So in this, you know, just trying to explain how God's economy works and how he provides. Well, first of all, there is the need. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because we know that there is a need. I know that you have a need, right? You've got, well, it's the first. So there's probably bills that need to be paid. I'm sorry to stress you out on church day to remind you that. But no, we all have needs, and we're hoping and praying, and we are trusting, we should say, that God is going to provide our needs through the means that he does, through his providential hand. So the need is easy to understand. Not only do we all have needs, but we understand the ministry has needs. When a missionary comes to our church and presents, we all know they have a need. Isn't that right? I mean, we know if you're going to go to Liberia, West Africa, there's some need there, right? They're going to need financing. They're going to need prayer. I don't even know what else they're going to need to be in Liberia, but they're going to have it. There's a need there. So the need is easy. The problem sometimes comes in the second element, which is the mind of concern for the need. So we know there's a need, but are we concerned about it? Well, let me say this. When it's our need, we're highly concerned about it. And here's what this interesting contrast that I want you to see. Look down to verse 6. Look at Philippians 4, look back to verse 6. What does that say? Be careful for nothing. See that? Be careful for nothing, which, you know, I hate to step on toes. That means don't worry about anything. That's what it means. The words be careful mean to be, you know, because we say, well, we don't worry, we're just concerned. Well, okay, be careful means to be concerned about whatever it is. Be careful for nothing. Don't be concerned. God will supply. That's what he's saying. Okay? Now look here. Look in verse 10 again. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also, what's the word? Careful. Do you know that's the same word? So here's the thing. When we have need, we tend to be very aware of that need. We tend to be very careful about that, concern. Let's don't use the word worry, but we would stress about maybe our own need. Oh, this thing's got to get fixed. This thing's got to get solved. This thing's got to get paid for. We have this need here. And again, this passage is really talking about giving, but it's not just money. I mean, all needs. And if it's our need, we're concerned about it. But Paul says, if it's your need, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your request be made known to God. Okay, that is not in contradictory, it's not a contradictory statement to verse 10. The people in verse 10, the Philippians, were careful toward Paul's need. All right? So just understand this. When it comes to our need, we're not to worry, we're to pray. But when it comes to the need that maybe that guy we found in the ditch, like the Good Samaritan, he was careful to cover his need, wasn't he? He was concerned. Now, again, the priest was not concerned. The Levite went over there and took even a closer look and saw, man, this guy really has a need. I guess no one was watching, so he skipped back across the road and left. But the Samaritan, he's like, man, someone's got to do something. I guess I'll help this man. See, he was the one that was worried about someone else's need. Okay, so if we have a need, we're to give that to God in prayer. If we see a need elsewhere, though, we are to be concerned about it. Not worried about it, but to take care for it. The word means to have an understanding of, to feel, to direct the mind to a thing, or to be concerned in the interest in affairs and needs of others. So simply put, the Philippian church had a mind of concern for Paul. Now, you're going to see here in just a second, they had needs of their own. I mean, it's not like they were, it's not like they were over there with just everything that they needed and full pockets. And no, he says, you didn't have opportunity. You wanted to help, but you couldn't help. That's what he's saying. I'll take you back to 2 Corinthians in a second. I'll show you that. But anyway, they were concerned for someone else's need. Our issue is, and I think at some point, doesn't every message kind of go to the same place? We're very inward. We tend to just focus on what do I need? Like, what's my problem right now? And if we're not careful, that blinds us to what everyone else is going through. It blinds us to what, well, yeah, sure, those missionaries, they have needs, but man, I got needs too. So the elements are the need, and then the mind of concern. The fact that we would be concerned over their need, even knowing perhaps we do have needs as well. So Paul says here that their care hath flourished again, meaning that they had a habit of taking care of him. They had a constant mind of concern for him. And so when they see him with this need, they don't just see the need, they have a concern. They had a mind to see the need, and they had a mind to meet the need. I spoke about Jesus this morning in Sunday school, I think, and when he saw people, he saw them differently than sometimes we see them. I won't want to bring up Walmart again, but I brought Walmart up in Sunday school, and I'm just telling you, when we see the people at Walmart, we see them differently than Jesus sees them. When he saw the people, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. I was thinking about Peter in Acts chapter 3. He's walking along, and there's a lame man laying by this gate. The gate is named Beautiful. You can read about it. He's walking by, and this man's asking alms. Well, you just have to know in that busy part of the temple area that there's hundreds of people walking by this guy all day, and nobody's seeing him. But Peter, it says, fastening his eyes on him, is what Acts chapter 3 says. You see, so he recognized this man has a need. And by the way, this isn't a message about, you know, going and finding someone that's homeless and helping them. If the Lord leads you to do that, that's a blessing. That's good. Peter didn't give him money that day. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Preach to him the gospel. He gave him something much better than money that day. But here's the point. He recognized a need, and he had a mind to, while everyone else is just skipping by, he recognized the need. So that's the idea, is that there's a need, there's a mind to see and meet the need. And and then there's God's supply. The third part is God's supply. Again, Paul is he's rejoicing here that, you know, they saw that he had a need. they were careful, they were mindful about it, but they didn't have opportunity at least for some time. But then all of a sudden, they met his need, and he's rejoicing greatly in that God delivered timely what he needed. And again, this church had needs of its own. Let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. Let me see if I can find it. I thought I wrote it. Yeah, 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. And just want to show you that the church met his need while they were in need. I'm going to show you this, and then we're going to really get to the heart of this, and then we're out of here. But 2 Corinthians, I'm in 1 Corinthians. I was about to say, that does not look right. You want to go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, one of those being Philippians, the church of Philippi. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So see what's happened here. Paul has a need. I don't know that he's writing letters and saying, boy, I sure could use some food. I sure could use whatever it is. I don't know that we see that in the scripture. I don't think Paul probably did that. But I guarantee Paul was praying along with all of his other prayers for others. He's probably praying, Lord, if you'll take care of my need here. And so he had a need. He's praying. He's asking God to meet the need. And then here's a group of people who says they have a mind to meet the need. They have a mind to see that need and meet it. And so what God does is he brings in the third element, which is opportunity. Opportunity. This church at first did not have the means to supply the need. You see that out of 2 Corinthians 8. They first gave of themselves. They gave in great trial of affliction, and the Bible says deep poverty. So they didn't have it to give at first, but they had the heart to help with the need. And so what happened? God supplied through them. God, he gave them opportunity. God does this all the time. When I was a pastor I've been pastor for probably 2 weeks, and the guys at the church, were letting me know how much money we didn't have. It's one of those kind of conversations. Before you get carried away, preacher, let's just get this thing straight. This isn't here, by the way. This isn't here. When I just became a pastor for 2 weeks, back in 2015, when I started. And so the guys are telling me basically how much money we didn't have. And there's a lot I could tell you that I won't. But we didn't have any money. Not only that, we had this bill we had to pay. I'll never forget, it was $600. The bill was for $600, which doesn't seem like a lot, does it? If you don't have it, it's a lot. That was the bill, $600, and it was for something that had to be taken care of. The more I share, the more I have to share. So I'm sharing this very little, okay? But there was this bill for $600 that we did not have the money. I mean, we just didn't have the money to pay. And so I told the guys, well, the Lord will supply. And in front of them, I look pretty faithful. But I'm telling you inside, I'm like, Lord, are you going to supply? God, are you going to handle this? How are we going to do? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, if we can't pay this bill, how are we going to pay when the light bill comes in? How are we going to pay but you know what we did? We just... I'm not telling you, I'm just going to be honest. I did tell those men the Lord will supply the need, but it was in great fear and trepidation, okay? It was one of those like, okay, God, we're putting you on the spot here. You've told us you'll supply. Here we go. You know, that week, I go to the little post office box to check the mail every Thursday. And I went to the little post office box and I checked the mail. And that week, an insurance agent in our town had apparently made too much money and needed to take some money off of his taxes. And so he was sending various places checks. And so he sent us one for $500. That week. So I go to the thing and I'm, okay, I open that. Then I get to the next piece of mail and here's this envelope. And it was this address from this sweet little shut-in widow lady that couldn't leave her house anymore. And there was a little note in there that said, I wanted to give this to the church. You know how much it was? I wish it was 100. It was 125. God gave us what we needed and some. That's how we began at Calvary, and that's how we lived. After the first couple of years, the Lord had blessed, and we weren't, you know, going bill to bill. But I'm telling you, if that's how God does it, He does it. There's a need. There's some scared preacher that's praying. And then God puts opportunity and need together, and He supplies. I've seen Him do it. I saw Him do it hundreds of times while we were there. I could sit here. I could take up the rest of your day, which I'm sure you would love me to. I could tell you how He provided. I mean, He provided unbelievable things for the church. Why? Because we see a need. We have a heart to meet the need. Okay, we can't do it. Lord, this is going on. We want to do it. How do we do it? I'm just telling you, He brings opportunity. He opens doors. We were wanting to redo our auditorium. And you may well know that auditoriums cost a lot of money to redo. It needed work. It needed work. Well, a church called me. Like, I didn't call them. They called me and said, we're redoing our auditorium. We're going to get rid of hundreds of these chairs. They're basically brand new, but we're changing the color. Do you want them? I mean, it was probably $80,000, $90,000 worth of chairs. Maybe not that much. The whole thing was $90,000. So it was $20,000, $30,000 worth of chairs. They gave them to us. Then God supplied the rest of the funds. We redid the whole thing. Why? We saw a need. You say, is an auditorium a big deal? When it's detracting from what you're trying to do in ministering the gospel in a, you know, clean and updated, you know, if people are coming in and going like, what's going on here? That's a problem, right? You're distracting from what you're trying to do. So yeah, sometimes it can be. I'm just telling you, need, prayer, supply. Need, prayer, supply. If you have a need in your life, pray. God supplies. If you see a need, pray. But just beware. When you start praying about a need you see, just beware. You'll probably be the instrument. God will supply. Did you know God hasn't blessed us with all the things He's blessed us with just so we can live comfy lives? We're to be a funnel. You know what a funnel is? That's what we're supposed to be. As He gives in, we're to pour out. I'm not saying you can't have anything. I don't think that's even biblical to preach that. I think God blesses His people, but He hasn't given us everything that He's given us for our own comfort. He desires that we would use these things for His work and for the ministry. So need, the mind to meet the need, and then the opportunity. Now, why were the Philippian church, why were they able to do this? Well, if you, again, look at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8, it says, they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know, I'll just say this, if the Lord has you, He has you. It's just that simple. If the Lord has you, He has you. If you've given yourself to the Lord, it's really no problem when the Lord prompts your heart to give toward a ministry need or to give toward the help of brother and sister in Christ. If He has you, He has you. There's lots of examples of this in Scripture we could look at. The Good Samaritan we've looked at. But the Shunammite woman in Elisha, she had nothing. She gave the very first thing she had to Him, and then God provided. What was that? That was a need and prayer and opportunity. Supply. Boaz and Ruth. You ever read that book? Need, prayer, supply. Paul and the Philippian church. Let me give you this one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he come here? Need. There was a need. It wasn't money. It was our spiritual need. He had a mind to meet the need. And then made the opportunity at the cross. So again, this is an introduction to what we're going to get into. And again, we'll get into the next few verses next week. Just wanted to open it up and show you that the context of all these verses, my God shall supply your need, he will. But I'll tell you, that's conditional on the verses around it. I can do all things through Christ. You can. But remember the context it's in. Need, prayer or concern, and supply. So we'll stop there. Appreciate your attention today. Lord, we are so thankful that you supply our needs, and you do. Lord, you supply what we need and more. And Lord, I know that you've given each one of us, including myself, and Lord, I really could just talk to myself today. Lord, you've blessed my family beyond measure. Help us, Lord, to just to be willing to meet the needs of your work. And when you prompt our hearts, that we respond. And Father, I thank you that that's already going on in this church. And I thank you for how you have supplied for Central Baptist Church. And even since I've been here, I've seen you do some things that have been such a blessing. And so God, I'm thankful that that's going on. And I just pray you continue to help us to have a heart for your work and the needs that are represented in it. Lord, we're going to have to give not only of our finances, but of ourselves if we're going to see your work go forward here in this town. And so I pray that you'd use the scriptures as you do to make us what we ought to be. Father, I pray you'd help us as we go out today to be just a light the rest of the day and the rest of the week. And Lord, help us to minister to those we can. And I just pray your hand of blessing to continue on our church and our people. Lord, give our folks a good week this week. And as they go to work, as they go to school, as they do the things they got to do at home, Lord, wherever your path is for everybody this week, I just pray you bless it and that you lead them all the way. Father, I pray again you dismiss us with your love. We sure are thankful for all that you do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.